Hello and welcome to Dirty Lazy Girl, a podcast that offers realistic girlfriend support and problem solving for imperfect people like me. I'm Stephanie Laska, author and creator of Dirty Lazy Keto. I lost 140 pounds by breaking all the rules and becoming a weight loss rebel.
And I'm Tamara Snezik, a professor of sociology, Stephanie's co-host, and her Dirty Lazy Girl partner in crime. Every week, we'll tackle a potential obstacle in your way with unconventional, dirty, or lazy problem-solving strategies. Let's get you started.
Welcome to the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast. Today's challenge is how to respond to keto bullies.
Stephanie, we have the perfect example of how to respond to a bully with Al Roker, you know, the Today Show anchor. You know him, right?
Because, he's my buddy. Me and Al cook together, you know.
You guys did. And he I didn't know this. I think you told me he follows a keto diet, right?
He sure does.
Yeah. And that's how he keeps his weight, you know, off. But what happened was Jillian Michaels, she's the like hardcore trainer for the Biggest Loser. And she went on these interviews and started like bashing keto. I mean, this is one of her quotes. It's a bad plan and that she can't understand why anyone would want to do it. Bully. So Al Roker responded on his Twitter, and this is his response. He said, "So at Jillian Michaels says keto is a bad idea. This from a woman who promoted on-camera bullying, deprivation, manipulation, and more weekly in the name of weight loss. Now those sound like bad ideas."
Wow.
Wasn't that a great comeback? He did. He did. So first of all, I think it's awesome that Al Roker follows a keto diet. That's very encouraging. And that he feels bullied too. I think if you're on this keto diet, Al Roker, you, me, whoever, eventually someone's going to say insensitive, mean, nasty comments. It's just going to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, just wait, it will. So I'm excited to talk about how to respond, you know, to bullies. Al did it in a pretty direct way, but there might be other ways we could do it too.
Well, Tamara, I'm not alone. I mean, we've all experienced this. I think most people have the keto police or the mean bullies criticizing us. I remember a story, you know, early in my journey where I had a coworker at a meeting actually ridicule me at breakfast because I wasn't eating toast. So she told me that I was going to die of rickets and malnutrition, which makes no sense, by the way, for not eating toast. And she did this not just to me, but in front of a whole group of my colleagues. And Tamara, here's the thing. I just started like trying to eat low carb and trying to cut back on sugars and refined white flour. And I just felt so embarrassed, first of all, that she was targeting me, and I felt angry. I was mortified because I didn't really feel that was an appropriate topic for a work meeting to discuss what I was eating for breakfast. I just felt like public criticism in general about our weight and what we're eating, I feel like it's very inappropriate. And these keto bullies, so to speak, I think they're also usually inaccurate is kind of my observation.
Yeah.
But here's the saddest part, Tamara. I mean, when this happened, I froze. I completely froze. I was not like Al Roker on my Twitter account, you know, responding with cool, like little zippy, like you shared. I just froze. I didn't respond. And I just sat there and took it. And I'm still upset.
Yeah. And that's why we're doing this topic. That way you'll have some ideas of ways to respond or some wording to use. So today in our dealing with keto bullies, we're going to identify 6 types of keto bullies because there's all different types and strategies to deal with each one. But first, a quick break.
Well, Tamara, next time I may not be eating breakfast with my coworkers because I'm going to pack my own alarm clock cereal. This is a recipe that I love to have when I'm traveling, and you can make it in a hotel room. It's that simple. It's 2 grams of net carbs per serving, and I include the recipe in the Dirty Lazy Keto No Time to Cook cookbook. With 100 recipes that are all low carb, you can make in 30 minutes or less, even in a hotel room. So take that, coworker of mine with the toast.
She can go eat her toast.
She can go eat her toast by herself.
That's right. All right, Semi. So let's get started with our 6 types of bullies and strategies to stop them. And we're starting with what I think is probably the most common is the cyber bully. They're everywhere. They're in every social media space. We're both administrators for your website, and they're everywhere. Like every 5 minutes, there's another one on there that we have to, you know, deal with. Yeah. And I think the reason they're so common is that because they're anonymous, so they can be a bully. Mm-hmm. Right. So what do we do with cyber bullies?
Well, it's interesting you said that, because some people might be thinking, well, how do you know what a cyber bully is? And I just wanted to point out to everybody, this is how I find them. They're mm-hmm. these people that tend to write posts on social media, and they usually start with these three words. That's not keto, right?
Yes.
That's not keto. And then the other thing they love to do is like point the finger and point out when you make a mistake. That's mm-hmm. not two net carbs. That's three.
Yeah.
Or that has sugar in it. Or that has, that's not keto. It's like, don't you just want to like flick them out of the group?
Yes. Yes. And we do.
And we do. Bye-bye to you. Keto, please.
I don't know if they think they're doing you a favor, or if it's just their own, like, I got to feel good about myself because I struggle too. I don't know what it is, but they're everywhere on there, like constantly. And we have to constantly say on the website, this is dirty, lazy keto. It's flexible. People can tailor it to their needs.
Yeah. And then there's a young lady who just got like a bouquet of fruit from her mom at one of those edible arrangements.
Yeah.
She had asked the group, like, she was new, and she's like, do I eat the fruit? What do I do? You know, and people had a variety of things to say, like, oh, eat the berries, or oh, maybe just have a bite or two. And other people freaked out. Oh my God, throw it away.
Seriously. So
there's a variety of responses, and I think they're all okay, don't you?
Yes. I think just as long, you know, where it crosses into bullying is when you say you can't, or that's not acceptable. It's, you know, the helpful ones are like, well, this works for me, and that doesn't work for me if I eat too much fruit or whatever. That's a much more acknowledgement that everybody's different. We all have different needs.
I love the way you put that.
Yeah. Like just, because she was looking for advice. There's nothing wrong with giving advice, but advice doesn't mean shaming someone. That's
there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that shaming and that, like, you're so stupid, like, mentality that you can read between the lines. Because that's what some people, the bullies that we're talking about, that's where it crosses, like you said, from the line from being helpful and informative and supportive to being mean, shameful, and just being an ass.
Exactly.
Let's be real.
Yeah. 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 I And our group is pretty good about identifying people like that. But
and remind people how to report folks that are,
so how do you deal with that?
Let's remind everybody, because I know we say this all the time, but doesn't hurt to give it one more time. It doesn't have to be someone attacking you. You can see cyberbullying attacking someone else and just wanting to step in and do the right thing. And it's anonymous. You just click the three little dots adjacent to the post, and there'll be some options there. And just go ahead and follow those options. It's anonymous. It goes immediately to the admin team of the Dirty Lazy Keto Facebook support group. And our team is serious. We are on it, and we review the offender or the offending post, and then we take action.
Yeah. And in fact, when administrators first come on, they're very hesitant, and you're always like, nope, they're out, you know, like zero tolerance for this thing, like no second chances, just to, because you are protective of people, you know, because it is hard to deal with that.
And what if you didn't want to necessarily report something to the whole group? There is a way on Facebook or on social media, all social media, there is a way you can block people just from your own feed. So that's another option if you didn't want to like escalate it to the admin team. But seems kind of like you're nanny, nanny, nanny.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I've done that before. I don't want to unfriend them, but I just make it so that I don't see their posts anymore. And then magically you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I think the whole point of number one, talking about cyber bullies, is that you can be empowered to take action.
Yeah.
Don't just sit there and take it and whine and complain.
Yeah.
You know, take action, do something about it, and then it'll go away.
Yeah. And I think for me, if I'm going to be direct, like Al Roker-y about it and just call them out, online spaces is where I'm most comfortable doing that. I think because it's not face to face. So I will say something directly. This is not a strict keto forum, this is dirty, lazy keto, so you need to stop, right? Or whatever it is. Although if you do that, my advice is that you're not going to get them to see the errors of their ways. That's the one thing that you have to just get out of your head. Like, you're not going to change them. They're still going to be a bully.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean you can't confront them, because sometimes you need to build up your confidence, and, you know, you need to say, stand up for yourself. And that's a really good exercise. So do it, go ahead and tell them, you know, I don't tolerate that, or we don't tolerate that here, but just don't expect them to change. Yeah. Just do it because you need it for your own, you know, personal standing up for yourself.
And I love your advice too about this could be a space where you could practice being confident and standing up for yourself in a place that's supportive.
Yeah.
That's really good advice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's okay. Why we're the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast. Tamara has spoken. Write that down, people. I'm going to listen to that advice. I like that.
Yeah. Well, in general though, I'm not that confrontational.
We'll do, like bullies. You said, we try on social media first and be polite and professional about it. You don't have to be a bully yourself, but just say, this is this type of group and we actually support that here. Maybe they didn't know, because it does get confusing. I'm in so many groups that even though, you know, I started one and I feel like the boss of one of them, I have been known to go in another group by accident and like start popping off. And then, oh, whoops, this is a budget keto group. This is not Dirty Lazy Keto. I'm so embarrassed. And I've gone on and said that, like, I'm so sorry. I thought this was a different group.
Yeah.
We all make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah. So you could do it in a way. And that's like not stooping to their level.
Right.
Yeah. Just being polite, but strong. Okay, who's our second type of bully? We've had cyber bullies, but this is a whole different one, our number two.
Well, number two, we want to talk about the healthcare provider bully.
Yeah.
That could be a doctor, a dietitian, a personal trainer, all those like pesky healthcare provider folks that might feel empowered because they have like a title or a role that they can tell you that keto is bad.
Yeah. And it's hard to argue with that group. In fact, I don't recommend you try to argue with them. You're not going to win. They'll say, oh no, there's, you know, scientific proof this doesn't work or whatever. It's not an argument you can win. So I say, don't waste your time with a healthcare providers or trainers or whatever. And so I say just, and then go do your own way. I mean, especially if you're, it's a doctor you only see once a year. And if it's a trainer or a doctor you see a lot, I would say try, if you can, to find a new provider, or don't argue with them and just do your own thing, you know, that's working for you. That would be my advice for that one. What about you, Steph?
Well, I appreciate that you said that's your advice, because you also shared you don't like confrontation.
No.
So that can be your strategy if that works for you. In my experience, I've had people on my medical team where I didn't have that option of walking away from them or ignoring them because they needed to be still part of my treatment plan for whatever reason. And in those instances, for me, what worked was to acknowledge that doctors don't know everything. They, in fact, get about a semester of nutrition total in all of their medical school training. And I also feel like some of my doctors might be older, so their information or training could be out of date. So that being said, you know, I think about how doctors used to tell women to smoke during pregnancy. That wasn't too long ago. So maybe they don't know everything. And maybe I might need to bring some compassion and some education to my next appointment. And even acknowledge that some of my doctors that I work with or that I talk to are overweight themselves. So there's a lot of things going on with doctors and nutritionists and dietitians and trainers, maybe not trainers, but I think that for us to just assume that they're all like anti-keto just because they're not educated, it could be an opportunity.
Yeah. And you can tell them like what it's done for you already, saying, well, you know, I've had these really great results and, you know, look how it's working for me. I mean, that's a great strategy. I remember for like a year of my life, I was a vegan. And the doctor, it was like an old school doctor, right away was like, that's a terrible diet. You shouldn't be a vegan. You're not getting enough protein. It's the typical, you know, if it's not a diet I'm familiar with, I'm going to. And what I told him, my response to him was, since I've been vegan, I've eaten more fruits and vegetables than in my entire life. And I'm eat less junk food than I've ever eaten my entire life. And I don't see how that's a negative thing. I really don't. Any minor, you know, protein issues can easily be fixed. I'm like, why would I go back to eating, you know, candy bars? Like, seriously. So that was how I dealt with that one.
Yeah, I love how you actually provided specific examples about your own health, because for me, that's what I have found to be very helpful, because I tend to see doctors, if I was to just focus on the doctor part, I see doctors more comfortable with data, and they make a lot of evidence-based medicine decisions when they see statistics and they see lab results and blood work. And so when I go over my A1Cs, my triglyceride levels, my BMI, my blood pressure, how I've eliminated medications. And when I go over all of those things and then say, and I lost 140 pounds, they're like, God damn. Like, usually they're like, oh, well, let's talk a little bit more about this. Yeah. You know, obviously something is working there. Yeah. And just because they hear a word they're not familiar with doesn't mean it's wrong or right. I think it just is an opportunity.
Yeah. And it's so hard to argue with facts, with lab results.
Like, yeah, how do you argue like, with can that? You see the triglycerides? Like, I've dropped over 100 points. Like, look at my blood pressure. Are you kidding me? Like you said about eating a candy bar. Should I go back to eating candy bars just because you're not comfortable with my protein levels and my vegan diet? Like, come on. Like, let's not be so quick to judgment and have that reaction.
Yeah. They're in hard, for me, a hard one to deal with, because I think I was taught to respect doctors and, you know, they're the experts. But they aren't. Not always.
Not always. And it's okay. I mean, yes, you can shop for doctors or find someone who's maybe more open-minded. But at the same time, you know, educating your doctor, bringing in like your Dirty Lazy Keto Get Started book, show them how many vegetables you're eating a day. Yeah. And you mentioned fruit too. Like, show them what you're actually eating. Yeah. And especially if you have diabetes or you're struggling with medication, let them know what you're actually eating before writing them off as somebody who might not be on your team.
Yeah. And that's one of my complaints about doctors in general, is they don't ask what you're eating. I mean, you know,
that's a good question.
Yeah. I'm like, well, that's, or what, how I'm exercising or all those things. So I guess it's up to us to kind of put that on the conversation, because they're not trained to do that.
Yeah. They're busy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a tough one. We could go back around and around just about that. I'm like, I could talk about that one all day.
All right. So our third one is, we're calling stranger danger.
The stranger danger.
You'd think that random strangers would keep their nose out of your business and what you eat, but no. Random friggin' people will come up to you and say, why are you eating that? Or why are you on a keto diet? You know, that doesn't work. Like, seriously, have you had that?
Well, I always laugh because I say, where were these people when I was eating Pop-Tarts for breakfast? Like, were they concerned back then? Did they intervene at the grocery store when I had Captain Crunch in the cart? But now they're concerned that they see heavy whipping cream? Like, which one are we more concerned with here?
It's insane. I feel like the easiest way to deal with the random stranger, and the way you can easily, is just walk away. Why do you have to respond? They're a total stranger. They had no business talking to you anyway.
Exactly.
Like, you know, like, thanks for the advice, bye.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Tamara. I'd be like, that's very nice.
Yeah,
I don't know these people. You don't have to prove your point to everyone, right? You don't need to argue with total weirdos. You can just walk away.
Yeah, save that for the next one, which is our, you know, people who are closer, like family or friends. But the random stranger, honestly, you don't have an ongoing relationship.
You do not.
I say, don't even bother.
I'm with you, Tamara.
Yeah. And it still bothers you though, sometimes, like, even a random stranger, it takes you back. It's like, wait,
people are weird.
Defend myself?
I say, walk away. I'm with you. There's no need to get in a fight at Safeway.
Seriously. You have better things to do with your day.
So you said you should save your energy for number four.
Yeah. So this is the family bully, or people close to you, you know, cousins, Aunt Lulu, you know, whoever who's in your life, like, for long term. This one's harder.
Oh, I'm excited to hear that you're going to challenge them though.
Like
tell me more, Tamara.
Well, you can't,
because before you didn't want to challenge the doctor, but now you're all fired up. So tell me more about this.
Yeah. The thing with the family is that you can't walk away. You can't humor them like the doctor. Like, I only see the doctor once a year. So, okay. But family, you can't. So you have to address it, I think. And there's different ways. I mean, you know, you can get in a big fight about it or get really upset, but I say you want to try to keep emotion out if you can.
Will this stay, work for you? So this is what you're
doing. It's hard.
Okay.
But it's, I feel like it's the best way, because when I get all emotional, I'm like, well, you should talk. I saw you eat, you know, three, whatever bags of chips, like, and then it just gets back. Well, I saw, you know, it gets in this, like, I'm better than you, you're better than me. And I don't want to do that. Like, that never gets you anywhere. So I feel like, especially people really close to you, one way you could do it is to just offer up a challenge, or, you know, say, well, if it doesn't work, then after 3 months, then come back to me and talk to me about, you know, maybe an alternative diet, but it's working for me right now. In fact, you know, why don't we just see who's losing the most weight in the next 3 months or something, like throw down a challenge or throw down a way to make them.
Don't be messing with Tamara with the challenge, people.
No,
that's my Tamara is so competitive. She will get you.
I know. And it will totally motivate me to do really well on my diet, because I'm going to prove to them how well it works. Like, it's about, I guess it's back to the proof is in the pudding, and say, well, if it's such a bad diet, then why is it working? And here, I'll show you. You know, I mean, that's the one way to deal with it. There are many, and obviously it depends on your relationship with the person.
Well, whatever works for you, Tamara.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is, I mean, we're just kind of sharing what's working for us. Mm-hmm. I am not as brave as you. I'm going to just throw that out there. I would never in my life talk about my eating or diet with a family or a family member, an in-law. I don't. For me, it's off topic, because it's such a sensitive issue for me.
Yeah.
How much I weigh, what size I am, my struggles with eating. For me, it's off limits completely. I don't want any of those people in my space, even my, you know, I don't, I don't. I don't want them in my space. So if they're going to start bullying me or coming down that road, for me, I would completely stop the conversation. Mm-hmm. And I would say, it sounds like you've got some issues about food. I'm going to turn it back around then. It's not about whether keto or low carb or whatever I'm doing is right or wrong. Yeah. I would say to my family or friend, I'm more curious why you feel the need to tell me what to do. Like, can we talk about that?
Yeah.
Like, why is it important to you for me to follow your advice? Or I would just start talking about what, like, for example, I'm thinking about, like, a lot. This is probably the most common problem I've had. It, like, social events, parties, someone will come out with a cake or some kind of dessert. Oh, well, so-and-so made this. It's grandma's this. It's special. It's the birthday. You deserve this. You deserve that. You have to have it. I'm like, no, thanks. And then the keto police comes out. You have to have it. What's wrong with you? Sugar's normal. You should be able to have a piece of cake when you want to. And then they start going off. And I go, wow, what's this really about?
Yeah.
Do you feel weird about having cake? And I just turn it all back on them. And I try to be empathetic, not confrontational or angry. I just say, what is this really about? Why do you care if I eat cake?
Yeah.
Do you feel weird about having cake?
Yeah. That's a good strategy.
This works for me.
For anything, not just food. Like, you know, they say something insensitive and you know, like, you know, why are you at this job? You can say, wow, why is it so concerning to you what my work is?
Well, I
you know, it's a good strategy.
I'm being like sassy right now, like I'm angry, but I'm really not. Like, I honestly do feel like most of the time when a loved one starts attacking me in a keto bully way about why I'm not eating something, it usually is honestly about their feelings, feeling guilty about eating the cake or feeling weird about whatever lifestyle they're choosing. And they just want company.
Yeah.
You know,
they do. Yes,
I don't think they're really criticizing me or caring. I don't really think anyone cares what I do, but I do think that keto bully from a family or a good friend, when that happens, it's because they want me to eat popcorn with them at the movie theater. They want me to have the Slurpee and share it or go get milkshakes after work. That's what they want. It's not about me.
No. So I think with all of these different bullies, that's a really great mindset to have in mind, is that they're doing it because of their own issues and it isn't about me. But it's so easy to think it's about you. Like, you feel attacked, you feel like, you know, you're doing something wrong. And it's like, no, it's their, their
That's just own. My strategy for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And that it's funny. My family they aren't direct about what they say. So they won't come up and say, oh, you know, why are you doing this stupid diet? They're the fifth one.
Oh, this is the yeah. most challenging number.
This one's the hardest. The passive aggressive bully. So they don't directly say anything like you can't eat that or why are you doing this? It's backhanded or the comments like, oh, so you're on another diet? You know, never doesn't on the surface is not a judgment, but you know damn well it's a judgment. Like you're a failure at all your diets.
Backhandedly.
Yes. Those are tough. What do you do with that one?
Well, here's the thing, Tamara. When those comments were made to me in the beginning, probably my journey, I panicked. I'm going to just be honest. Mm-hmm. Those were the hardest. They were the worst. And I felt terrible inside. I did not know what to do. And I wanted to agree with them sometimes, especially when they would say stuff like, oh, you've been so good. You deserve a break. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, yeah, I do. Right. Or they'd say, oh, you look so skinny, or, oh, you look just fine. You can stop now. And I'd be like, really? I can stop now? Cause I want to stop now. Right? You know what I mean? Or, oh, you worked so hard. You deserve a night off. I wanted to agree with them. So that is a really confusing backhanded compliment where, you know, I didn't know what to do and my confidence wasn't there yet. So this one's tricky.
It's really hard. I haven't mastered it, but I know that knowing myself, I'm a kind of a people pleaser, and passive aggressive people like to prey on people like me because they know I'm not going to confront them. And if I do, they'll just deny it. Like, I didn't say anything. I didn't judge you. I just asked what your latest diet was, you know, like, so, and I don't have the best way to deal with it, but one strategy I have used is to sort of kill them with kindness, you know, like, okay, like,
what do you do with that?
It's almost a passive aggressive response back.
Oh, you're sneaky.
Yeah. Thank you for being concerned about my health. You're such a good friend for looking out for me. So I know you're going to be so supportive on this diet that I'm on right now. Yeah. Well, cause you're such a good friend.
Now, are you being honest or like sassy when you say that?
I'm being passive aggressive, actually, right back. Like
you
I'm
are, saying, cause it sounded really good and convincing.
Yeah. It's, you know, one of those on the surface, I'm having a, you know, you're such a nice person, basically telling them how I want them to treat me. Right. Yeah. Without saying it. Like, and I could say, you know what? That's not the nicest way. Why don't you be supportive? I could say that.
I could never.
It's
say
hard.
That.
No, with my personality.
No, I could never, ever, 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 ever do that. To the doctor, though, I could. Right. You heard how confident I was with the doctor, but not with the family friend. I could never just say, you're being passive aggressive. I don't like it. Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's hurting me. No. So I do a strategy that on the surface looks really nice as well. Cause I'm a people pleaser. So I want to come across as nice, but the niceness will communicate a subtle message, which is, you know, support me, please quit being negative, but I'm doing it in a very clouded way. And again, this isn't the best strategy for everyone or every situation. Sometimes people force you to just draw a boundary and say, stop.
That's true.
And then others you can do with a more subtle way and they get it and they stop.
Well, I do want to point out with this passive aggressive category, I do want to point out that it's not all mean intended people.
Right.
I think that in my experience anyway, not everyone was out to like sabotage me or be critical. Cause like, I want to point out, this is kind of sad maybe, but like my children were very confused when I was changing my lifestyle and they might've been passive aggressive and trying to get me to have a cookie or buy ice cream. Mm-hmm. But they just honestly didn't know how to help me. So they would say, mommy, you look pretty. Mommy, you're just fine. Or even my husband said, honey, you look great. What, you know, you're exercising and you look fine. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they wanted me to buy Chips Ahoy because they wanted it. But at the same time, I just don't think they knew how to help me. So their comments were a little bit convoluted. Yeah. So I had to learn to speak up for myself. Like you said, draw a line, a boundary and say, I feel like maybe you don't know how to help me. So this is how.
Yeah.
You can, when I say no to ice cream and you guys are having ice cream, that's okay. And mommy might go for a walk.
Yeah.
And that's okay too. I need you to support me. And they'd be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
She's not mad because we're all getting ice cream and she decided to go for a walk around the block.
Yeah.
I just had to like explain it to them.
Yeah. Like tell them that this is making me feel good and making me feel healthy.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm doing it. Yeah, you're right. And to go to the extra step to explain it is important with your kids or your spouse or the people really, really close to you. Yeah, I agree. It's not always ill intention. And even the ones that are, like, I have a family member who's does these subtle zingers, you know, like, but if I really think about it, it's because that person is struggling themselves.
That's right. Oh, this, yeah. I mean, this topic is just emotionally rich for me because I just have a whole childhood, a whole life of people who have made comments and not made comments and tried to be supportive but not be supportive.
Yeah.
So I just want to acknowledge to our listeners that this, we're, you know, the keto bully on the internet, that's one thing, but when it's your mom or your husband or your sister,
I
mean, this is very difficult stuff.
And not to get woo-woo, but for me, it touches some deeper issues, like, you know, being a bigger kid and being bullied for being heavy.
Yeah.
Or, you know, those, it taps in, those come out when you start talking about keto police. It's actually deeper than that underneath. That's why I think it's like, it feels almost, you react so strongly when they say something, even a stranger, like, because I think for me, it's tapping into some of those deeper, you know, feeling bullied other times in my life.
So. And that's interesting you say that because that's our number six.
Yeah.
Bully within. Because all of these things can trigger that voice that we have inside of us where we start criticizing ourselves.
Yeah. And,
you know, starting to second guess our own decisions. Like, oh, well, keto doesn't work for me. Really? How can cutting out sugar be bad? Come on, keto bully inside of my heart. Come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think we convince ourselves and say dumb stuff to ourselves. Like, oh, I'm just fine. I don't, you know, I'm totally fine being 100 pounds overweight. No, you're not.
Yeah.
Like that conversation, we need to fight with ourselves sometimes.
Yeah. I think I'm my own worst bully, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, there's these outside people, but the one in me is the one that's constant, like every day. So that's the one I think I need to really work on. And some of the stuff I've been doing, and this is, you know, off to my woo-woo self.
Bring it, girl. Bring it. Bring the woo-woo. This is what we're here to help. I mean, what's working for you?
I have to say that the criticisms aren't me. It's a separate, like I'm not my thoughts, all these negative thoughts. So I have to first tell myself that. And one way that helps me do that is just to name my inner critic. I call my kitty. I said that in a past episode because cats are just jerks.
So your inner girl is called Kitty.
Yeah. My inner me girl. Yes. And just naming her is, again, it's just a way of separating that I am not the negative thoughts. It's that inner bully. So I just give it a name. And then, you know, don't judge myself. Like, you know, if I have a thought, I say, okay, this is a negative thought, you know, but it's not actually who I am. And just be gentle with and don't beat myself up for having the thought. Just say, okay, these thoughts come up. There's that negative thought again. And then just keep, you know, acknowledging that it is an inner critic rather than, because then you, if you don't, you'll keep thinking it's really you. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And start believing it.
Yeah. I mean, this is complicated stuff. We're trying to you know, have fun with the conversation, but also recognize that, you know, the stuff is really deep and it touches a lot of different areas. As I was losing weight, Tamara, I felt really confused about where I belonged kind of in the world. Mm-hmm. And my inner critic kept trying to pull me back. Like, oh no, you want to go eat, you know, popcorn and watch the movies every Friday night with your friend and then go to ice cream after. No, that's not what I wanted. And then my other person inside was like telling me to go to the gym, but I didn't know what to do at the gym because I'd never been to the gym and I'd never exercised on equipment. And just to be very transparent, I remember when I first joined the gym and felt horrible and weird and awkward and uncomfortable, it was about a month after I had been there and I finally got around to bringing glasses so I could read the instructions on the equipment. And I realized I was doing one of the machines backwards. I was sitting backwards, facing front instead of backwards on the machine. Tamara, I was horrified. I was so embarrassed. And I thought, everyone has been laughing at me about that heavy girl who is still overweight, but trying to exercise and doing it all wrong.
But it's not funny. It's just funny because I
hilarious. That's why I wanted to tell the story.
So I did the same thing.
I was backwards in the machine for a damn month. Guess what? Not one person noticed in the gym.
No.
Nobody cared that I finally turned around. No one had ever been looking at me. And that's, I think, part of the journey I had to experience is that no one cares. You are your own bully. You are the one making things hard for yourself. No one is really cares. It's all about them. People are selfish.
Yeah. And if they act like they're caring, it's only because they're wrestling with their own demons.
Their own deal. No one really cares.
Because they feel they've done that, used the equipment wrong, and they feel insecure about it. So it's easy to just point, oh, look at that, you know.
But they don't. That's that's the inner bully thing that I was my aha moment, is that no one is watching me and no one cares.
Yeah.
I was the only one who cared that I was backwards on the equipment.
Yeah.
And I was the only one who noticed that I was backwards and corrected myself, but no one is looking.
No.
And so for me, I had, that was my inner bully moment. I had to say, look, I'm in my own head here.
Yeah. That's a good strategy too. Excellent. Well, I'm curious how our listeners deal with keto bullies. I'm sure you have some great strategies. Tell us your strategy by emailing Stephanie@dirtylazyketo.com or through Facebook or Instagram at Dirty Lazy Keto. Before we get to our final hacks, let's take one last break.
Well, listeners, you can tell this is a passionate topic for me. I get really excited about keto bullies. And in fact, in the first book, I reference this, The Dirty Lazy Keto, Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking the Rules. I talk about keto bullies and family and getting the support you need for probably a good third of the book. So it's not just about what to eat and what recipes or foods to pick out, but I do a lot of emotional support in this guide. And I think that you might find it helpful if the keto bully is something that you're struggling with. And as an added bonus, my publisher just let me know that from now until the end of March, anyone who places an order for the audiobook, ebook, or paperback book and shows their receipt, they are going to send them one of the food pyramids. So I think Tamara's referenced this as being one of her favorite keto tools, and they'll mail that to you for free. So that's the Get Started Losing Weight While Breaking All the Rules, available at stores everywhere.
You got to get that food pyramid. Mine's on my fridge.
It's really helpful, just as a visual reminder, like, what should I be eating? And it just reminds me every time. I'm like, oh, more vegetables.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up today's episode by sharing our personal dirty or lazy hack. What's yours, Steph?
Well, mine is to feel sorry for them. So every time I see a keto a food police, a critic, no matter if it's a family, a friend, someone online, my immediate reaction is I focus on feeling bad for them because I suspect they have low self-esteem. And for me, this really helps instead of waging war and, you know, trying to prove who's right and who's wrong. I just come at a place of compassion.
That's awesome. My hack is similar in that it's about changing your mentality about it, right? About, like, for you, it's looking at them with compassion. For me, I would say use it as a moment for motivation, you know? So if they're saying it doesn't work, it's a terrible diet, turn inward and go, I'm going to show them, you know, this is a great diet. It's really working. And so I would say just take a negative and turn it into a way to motivate yourself to, you know, stick closer to the diet and really embrace the diet.
Well, the big message that we want you to take home today is that, you know what, you really don't have anything to prove. This is about you and your health. The onus is not on you to evangelize your way of eating to the entire world, even at the grocery store. Bullies often are just trying to get a rise out of you. They want to argue. That's what they do. So it's up to you if you want to get sucked into those debates, but really the power is in your hands.
And are you enjoying the Dirty Lazy Girl podcast? Show your support by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on YouTube, give the episode a thumbs up, leave a comment, and subscribe to the Dirty Lazy Keto channel.
And I want to share a wonderful review. Okay. Actually, this was a comment written by Terry on YouTube, and Terry shared, this is so cute, Terry. She says, "Your comments about exercise as punishment really hit home. I can relate to the physical education, the shame, the pain, and now that you mention this. I think that has been and had a big impact on my thoughts about exercise. Thanks for pointing this out. No more dreading exercise. You are right. Movement is a privilege and a good thing. You ladies rock.
Oh, I love that comment.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you. And we love reading your comments and reviews. And so new for this season 3, if you hear your comment read on the air, Terry, that's you, contact Stephanie and she'll send you a Dirty Lazy Keto swag prize.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you next week.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please tell a friend. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts.
For more information about what we talked about today, or just to get in touch, visit DirtyLazyKeto.com. See you next week.